You're listening to the Franchise Podcast Network, presented by Lucky Star Casino. KRXO FM and KRXO HD Oklahoma City, a product of Tyler Media, reaching over 1 million Oklahomans every week. Now, the Outdoor Hour, giving you the inside scoop on the great outdoors on 107.7 The Franchise.
As long as I can remember, I've been drawn to the outdoors. There's something primal in each of us that awakens when we step outside the bounds of modern society and back into the vast possibilities of the natural world. The more civilized our lives become, the louder our hearts cry for reconnection with our native ways. Failure is imminent, dangers drawing nigh, but approached with reverence and tact, the outdoors return wisdom and gain. In both the outdoors and in life, harvests are fleeting, but lessons and memories abound. With that in mind, we step forth boldly together in pursuit of ourselves outdoors. We are nothing more than tree stand troubadours. Welcome inside the Outdoor Hour. We got a fun one for you this week. And hey, before we get too far into this, I want to remind you that you can follow the Outdoor Hour on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, X today for those of you that
never
subscribe that way. Instagram, and yes, we are on TikTok. It got a little weird there for about 24 hours.
It's back?
But we're back up on TikTok. You can find us at outdoor_hour. If you enjoy listening to the show every week on the radio, 107.7 The Franchise, don't forget you can always follow the podcast and subscribe, whether really wherever you download streaming audio. We're available on all the major podcast networks searching for the Outdoor Hour. And you can also now follow the page and watch the show be made in video on YouTube by going to the franchise's YouTube page. So if you want to type in the URL, it's youtube.com/thefranchiseok, or just search for the Franchise OK on YouTube, or search directly for the Outdoor Hour. Any of those ways, you can actually pull up the videos here. So welcome inside the Outdoor Hour. We're glad you're here with us. I've got a great guest in studio this week, and before I show him to you, I'm going to tease a couple of things that I think I'm going to get his thoughts on. You and I have had a couple of phone calls this couple of weeks. Did you know that there's some new legislation proposed that might change the bag limit for bucks in Oklahoma?
One buck state, is that it?
Yeah, you've heard about that.
Yeah, I have.
I want to get your thoughts on that. We don't need to do that just yet.
Okay.
But I'm going to get your thoughts on that.
Okay.
Do you hear about the $1.3 million sheep tag that sold in New Mexico this week?
Did not hear about that.
We're going to talk about that one as well.
Okay.
And I know you've got a couple of things that we've discussed. I don't remember specifically, but you came in hot with a couple of conversations you wanted to bring on air. So we'll do that as well.
Okay.
But let's get into it. This is the Outdoor Hour. I'm Taylor Maples.
I asked him if he did it, and he said,
I just shot a bear.
I asked him again, and again he said,
I just shot a bear.
But I did.
Nice. Nice.
Goldfish is the mastermind, of course. Behind the glass this week, the one, the only, the lord of the boards, this is Maddie Goldfish.
Oh, I thought you were going with Dave.
Oh.
We can play two at the same
time.
We
can do both. Extra cheesy. We're just layering these things on top of each other. Now, we'll go to the guest here, though. Our guest, you know him, you love him, you may have never seen him. Here he is. That's what he looks like if you're watching on YouTube. That is Dave Myrick in the studio.
Hello, everybody.
It's a nice looking hat you got there.
Well, yeah, man. That's J.D. Adams Fly Fishing Shop, the guys over there. I love going in. They've got cool stuff. We know this. What's cooler, though, is those dudes just chill out and talk about sports. They talk about hunting. They talk about fishing, whatever. Just going in there is a vibe. If you haven't done it yet, swing by and check them out. You don't have to buy anything. It's cool just to stop by, hang out. But I guarantee you, if you stop by, you will buy something. J.D. Adams.
Yeah, you'll buy something. My wife hates looking at the credit card statement for that very reason. But it's cool. They always have stuff to drink.
Yes.
They got sodas. They've got stronger items in the fridge as well.
Adult beverages.
Adult soda pops, in there. It's a great place to hang out.
But the important topic here is, though, how did Matt like his new nickname, Lord of the Boards? It seemed like that just went right over him.
Yeah, I didn't really pick up on that, but I like it.
Dig
Lord
it.
Of the Boards, I'll take it.
Yeah, I think he was pressing a lot of buttons and doing a lot of things. We probably should have coordinated that. In my mind, I was thinking, man, we don't have Josh in studio. Are we going to run a Where in the World is Joshua Wildman? What are we going to do? How should we order this?
Where in the world is Joshua Wildman?
And I actually don't know where in the world Joshua Wildman is.
Then this is appropriate.
Joshua Wildman Stratton.
Tell us if you know. I know he's out of town for work, but I don't know anything beyond that. So
he's out in the wild.
Out in the wild, probably. This is the Outdoor Hour. Let's jump right in, man. Couple of things to talk about. So the Wild Sheep Foundation has their sheep show in Reno. And one of the culminating things that they do is they will actually raffle off, and I believe the funds go for conservation, but they'll raffle off a statewide New Mexico sheep tag. And it is a, I think it's, man, I'm getting all my wires crossed. It might even be Arizona. I'll get confirmation of this. But the tag sold this year for $1.3 million.
Okay. I've got questions. Why was it so expensive? Is it just a conservation effort to where people want to pitch in that much money to feel good about conserving? Or was there something more to this that I'm not seeing, not hearing?
See, and we really need Josh here to answer these things because I'm confident. I know he's been to Sheep Show. I'm confident he knows about all of these auctions and where the money go and which units they're for and all of that. I can tell you from conversations we've had on this show, they do similar at the Mule Deer Foundation Expo each year, Western Hunting Summit, whatever they do. And it's always for a very specific unit that is highly touted, you know, world-class caliber bucks that are in there, that kind of thing. I don't know a whole lot about the sheep.
Okay.
But we can learn a little bit more.
That's a badass sheep, man. 1.3 mil. I get it. If you got the money and you care about the environment and you want to do something that you think really matters, then that makes sense. If not, it doesn't make any sense to me for a sheep. But people do what they want to do, man. If you got it, spend it.
Is sheep hunting on your list?
No, not yet. I mean, unless I'm just massively missing something I haven't seen
yet. I thought we herded sheep.
Yeah.
I didn't think we necessarily hunted them.
Wasn't
but
there
I could be wrong.
Wasn't there a little Bo Peep once that would herd? I didn't hear about them shooting.
I know like some like gnarly, are these like the gnarly mountain sheep and stuff that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking like bighorn sheep.
Okay.
These are not just your run-of-the-mill.
That you shear and wear their stuff as sweaters.
Yeah.
You
know. No, these are bighorn sheep. And a good buddy of mine, we had him on the show not too long ago, Trevor Groves, was up in Alaska. You know what? He was at Sheep Show this year.
Okay.
Let me get a hold of him and see if I can get some more details before the show is over on exactly what was going on. He may have been in the room when that tag sold.
I'm curious on the motive behind that. But yeah, you referenced the one buck thing in Oklahoma. That has sparked off quite a bit of conversation amongst hunters here, and rightfully so.
What are you hearing?
People don't like it, of course. You know, they want to be able to take, if you see one, there's already enough pressure because you've only got so many tags. You know, do you draw back? Do you pull the trigger? Do you wait for something better? That's going to enhance that exponentially if it's just one per season. Also, in my opinion, there is a massive issue with overpopulation with doe in this state. Like on our lease, for instance, we have about a 15-to-1 doe to buck ratio. And if you just go to one buck, I guess that somewhat helps. But I would like to see something done expanding tags for doe, or maybe making a one-day limitless deal during the season to where guys can or anybody can take doe that they want to try to thin this out, because it's an issue in Oklahoma. You can't have a healthy buck population with this many doe, and I think that's why we heard this year, namely, and I heard some of this last year, that it was a very slow season for a lot of people, seeing mature bucks to actually shoot at. And when you've got a population of doe this strong, that doesn't help it. So I don't really see where the one buck thing is going to help that aspect of what I'm talking about. I think it's looking in the wrong direction, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot of the details. This came up, I think, last week briefly, but we didn't get into it in the Outdoor Hour. It was Senator Grant Green that proposed, and it's Senate Bill 338 that, if passed, would drop the current antlered bag bag limit from $2 in Oklahoma to $1. I haven't seen a lot of legitimate conversation about this, but I've seen a lot of social media comments, and there are some really interesting proposals out there that just outdoorsmen, hunters and anglers from Oklahoma are throwing around. I've seen people that like the idea of a early season antlerless rifle ability.
Yeah.
To your point, a lot of the problems that we're seeing is it's overpopulated for does in particular.
Right.
We talk on this show repeatedly about the risk of CWD coming in, especially when you talk with highly population density areas, corn feeders, that kind of stuff. So I think clearing some more of those does off the landscape is an obvious solution for many of us.
Right.
I also have seen people talking, this is kind of an interesting idea. We always say hunters in the know take a doe. Not many of us are actively practicing that. This is maybe a little bit too much government overreach, but it's an interesting topic for conversation. What if we went to a place where you could shoot your $2, but if you harvest a buck before you can shoot your second, you've got to take a doe?
Ooh. Look, I like it for what we're talking about. That would help thin the population. I don't like it because I don't like being told what to do. And that's just another aspect, man. When you hunt, you're out in the wild, that's part of it. Yeah, nobody is really commanding you on what to do. Yes, we have bag limits. It's well known. We follow that. But that would just be one more kind of oversight that you've got to keep in the back of your mind while you're out there, and that to me defeats the purpose of hunting. So I wouldn't dig that aspect, but I do like the fact that the conversation is open on how to start solving this.
I don't know how much science has gone into this proposal or why it was proposed. We might need to try to get Senator Grant Green on the show to talk a little bit more about it. We've done that sort of stuff in the past. I did read an article, though. Rick Nolan, who's a friend of the show, he's the president of Oklahoma Hunters and Anglers. Have you ever been to the deer conference in Oklahoma City that happens once a year?
I don't think so.
You got to go to that.
Yeah.
It happens, I'm going to get this wrong, but I think usually over the summer months. Okay. And they'll have a number of speakers, 12, 15, 20 classroom sessions throughout a day. And you can go in, and one of them will be on, wild game cooking. One of them is just on, cleaning deer. One of them is on saddle hunting. And it's just a way to go and talk to like-minded individuals, learn about some of the new stuff that is out there.
I know people that need lessons and all the above, by the way.
But that deer conference is a really cool thing. Rick Nolan has been a part of that. He's one of the guys that's been behind that for several years. But president of the Oklahoma Hunters and Anglers, and in this article I'm reading, he basically says, he thinks that dropping the antlered deer bag limit could be really risky. Doesn't sound like there's a whole lot of science to this. He alludes to, paying attention to carrying capacities and a lot of these things that we as outdoorsmen know.
Yeah.
Really, really curious where the idea started.
I am too.
And why it's on the table. But it is. It is a Senate bill, number 338, that has been proposed. So.
I'm curious about the motive behind that. We've talked, when I've come on the show at length and made a lot of jokes about, it'd be a great one next year, right, when you see one that you think. I wonder if this guy is thinking that way too many people don't have that, that they're just seeing antlers and shooting, which I don't know anybody that does that. In fact, it's the exact opposite of every hunter I've spoken to in Oklahoma. So I don't know. I'd be fascinated to find out what was behind presenting this bill, because I don't really get it, to be honest with you.
If you guys have a strong opinion one way or the other on this $1 limit conversation that's happening around the state of Oklahoma, drop us a note on social media. You can find us at @outdoor_hour, or you can find me specifically at @T_Maples. I would love to hear your thoughts, and we may even discuss them here on the show. Hey, we got to squeeze in a break. When we come back, we'll have more with Dave Myrick inside the Outdoor Hour on 107.7 The Franchise.
Yeah. You're listening to The Outdoor Hour with your host Taylor Maples and Josh Stratton on 107.7 The Franchise.
Welcome back inside The Outdoor Hour. Taylor Maples, Dave Myrick, and Matty Goldfish, the Lord of the Board, behind the glass again this week.
I do like it.
Yeah, it really rolls off the tongue. I have to give credit to Dave.
Look, we were just walking down the hall coming down here this morning, and I was like, hey, is the Lord of the Boards here? Matt, I don't know where it came from. I'd never thought of it before, but I think it's going to stick.
I like it.
I think it's here to stay.
It rolled off so well, I was like, wait, is that a thing? Like, do people call him that?
They do now.
They do now.
Man, well, we are glad that you are listening. Thanks for the support. It has been so fun the last couple of months. We've had more and more people grab Josh and I out in public. People at church, people in the grocery store, literally just out and about saying, hey, the Outdoor Hour, and I enjoy that.
That's so creepy, but I like it.
It's cool.
It's cool, man. You're becoming even more of a celebrity than calling the no-hitter game from Dane Acker, OU, down at Minute Maid.
Man, you want to hear something really funny about that?
Always, yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, we had Rhett Acker on the show, who is a thermal drone deer recovery guy around the state of Oklahoma. And when I was trying to text him to set up his appearance, I texted Dane Acker by mistake.
Oh, that's cool, man. I haven't thought about the name Dane Acker in a while. That was quite a game. That was the COVID season that ended up getting canceled with all kinds of potential for OU baseball.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. We were in Houston for that. It was at the Shriners Classic at Minute Maid Park. It was like a week before COVID shut down, if I remember correctly. They started that year. You know, Cade Cavalli was on that team. Levi Prater was on that staff. Dane Acker was kind of the new guy on the staff. Pensacola, I remember he had a really good outing, just kind of mowed people down quietly, you know, like it was a really good start, but he wasn't lighting up the radar gun a whole lot at that point. He didn't have a whole lot of like flashy stuff. He was just really effective.
Good pitchability.
Great pitchability. Yeah. And then I can't remember how many starts he made, but that season was really, really short. The no-hitter against LSU, and that was, you know, one of the highlights of my broadcasting
career. Yeah, man, I'm sure it was.
The next weekend, I think after that, we played at UT Arlington, one midweek game, and then hopped on a flight to California, and that's when the world shut down.
Yeah. Yeah, there were all kinds. We just talked to Skip Johnson on a different show last week, and I've spoken with him about the COVID year and how much anticipation there was to get that thing rocking and rolling, because they were fully bought in and thought they had a staff to get to Omaha. The numbers suggest that. But, yeah, that week. I got a text that night that I think the Thunder game had been canceled. Somebody tested positive, and they shut the game down. And, like, the next day, the world just ended. That was it. Not to get off on a COVID tangent, bad times for everybody, though we were able to still get out and hunt, so that was good. Anyway, topic I wanted to talk to you about that we kind of broached on the phone last week and didn't get too in-depth on, lease positions. What's preference for people, right? Luckily, I'm in a spot where I'm on one in Paducah, Texas, and I've got one in southern Oklahoma that's close to the house. If I had to choose one, it would be what I told you last week. If I wake up on a random Wednesday with a burr up my ass and want to go walk through the woods and look for a hog, I can. I'm close enough, but I've also got friends that they like the planning, you know, of having to allocate a couple days and go down and spend it with friends in a cabin. Look, there's nothing like the vibes of a deer lease cabin. There's just not. Things get said that aren't said anywhere else. I get it. But a lot of the motive, right, is to get away from things, your spouse or your kid. Nothing wrong with that, as long as you behave yourself. Everybody needs a little time away, as a great songwriter once said. But the point I'm making, if I had to choose one, it would be to stay close, because now, in a lot of different hunting states, you have places you can book trips if you want to do that and organize it with friends and meet up for a couple days. But there's nothing quite like being able to hop in the truck and be hunting within 45 minutes of your front door. Nothing.
Yeah, and I'm in a really cool spot because the lease that I'm on right now is probably 20 to 25 minutes from my front
door. Solid.
So before I had this lease, you know, I had permission on a couple of properties around the state. And even right here in our building at Tyler Media, I've got stands within 20 minutes in a couple of different directions, which is a cool thing about the state of Oklahoma. There is a lot of that access if you've got permission and that kind of stuff. This came up last week, I remember, because we were talking. This is the time of year people are jockeying for positions on leases and trying to make decisions about, am I going to stay with this group? Am I going to get into a new lease situation? Not everybody can just do that year to year, right?
Sure.
Sometimes you're locked into several years worth of agreements. Even if it's just a handshake agreement, there is a lot of that in our state. It just depends on what you value, and everybody's different. Mm-hmm. I'm like you. I've got a young kid and another on the way. I am sitting right now for deer hunting a fraction of the amount of time that I normally would. So I value, and I'll be honest, we've got stands on our property, which is 20 minutes from my house, that are more accessible than others. And even on nights that I know I have a less likelihood of seeing good deer, I may go sit there just to get out.
No doubt, man.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's just where I'm at in life, right? I've been approached about a couple of leases, you know, even up around like Woodward and what county? There was one up Woods County.
Okay.
You know, some good deer areas. But I'm thinking, man, how reasonable is it for me in this season of life to go up and drop a wall tent at the beginning of the year and try to take a week or two off periodically and drive 3 or 4 hours to go deer hunting? That just doesn't really make sense for me.
Yeah.
And I know some people feel differently about it. Power to them. That's a heck of an experience. I love that.
It's preference, man.
Oh, yeah.
It just is. The guys that I'm talking about, I mean, you have dudes that have been doing this. It's kind of like a ritual, you know. Once a year, you meet up for a couple days. Typically, that's pre-planned out, and it's memories that you make that last a lifetime. And if that's all you can do, do it. If all you can do is close to your house, or that's all you want to do, more power to you. You know, it's whatever floats your boat, as they say. I have to look at the context of being able to load up if I decide to go and be driving through the gate within 45 minutes. You can't beat that, in my opinion. So if I had to pick one, it would be to stay close to home. But the trips and the memories you make when you pack up and go down to a cabin for a couple days also resonate forever. So I get that aspect as well.
The only problem with your lease is there's no animals on it.
Yeah, we're overrun with doe, man. We got too many turkeys, even though you didn't have much luck with that.
I don't believe there's a single turkey on that property.
And I told you guys exactly where to go, where I see them every single time I'm down. I think that like the day after you guys came down, I went down, and sure enough, there they were, but just not for y'all. I don't know.
It's the way it goes, man. For
way
sure.
It goes. Life in the big city.
It really is. Hey, here's something worth keeping an eye on. Did you know that Oklahoma, and I want to make sure I get this right, Canadian Valley chapter of Quail Forever. Did you know we have a Quail Forever? You've heard of like Pheasants Forever.
Yeah.
We have a Canadian Valley chapter. It's a newer chapter for Quail Forever. And they've got a banquet coming up in Yukon on Thursday, March 27th. And they're kicking off a 10-year campaign for a fundraising effort for development and maintenance of a new wildlife management area that will be coming to either Canadian or North Grady County. So we'll put some information up on social media if this is something you're more interested in being a part of and supporting. But, man, quail is just one of those species that in the last couple of years people have been talking a lot about the lack of numbers. So it's cool to see people out there. This is something somebody actually emailed to me and said, hey, we'd love help getting some word out about this new chapter for Quail Forever, as well as support and funds for their event. So Thursday, March 27th, it looks like doors open at 5 p.m. It'll be over by 8:30, and I will post some contact information here for the Canadian Valley Quail Forever fundraising banquet on March 27th.
There is somebody I'm going to tell about that immediately. As you know, I'm the voice of Middell Athletics and doing a basketball game right here on the station last week. I was talking to Daryl Hall, who is the head coach of the Midwest City football team, as well as the athletic director, and we were talking about hunting, and his favorite thing to do is quail hunting. And that's something, to be honest with you, that I don't run into a lot from hunters, that I'm like, well, what's your jam? And they're like, quail hunting. That's, you know, if I had to pick one and only one, that's it. So I'm going to see him this week, and I will bring that banquet to his attention because he'll be all about it. Guarantee you that.
That's cool. I was chatting with some buddies recently that have gotten into some geese lately.
Okay.
A little bit north of Oklahoma City area, but, man, goose hunting is something I haven't done in several years.
But you have done it?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I used to do probably more. There was a period of my life after college, before we moved to Oklahoma, goose hunting was probably the – there were less barriers to entry for me goose hunting than anything else.
Okay.
I probably shot more geese for a 4 or 5 year period than I did anything in the outdoors. Have you done much goose hunting?
Never done it once.
You've never done it once?
No, never been goose hunting before. Use shotguns, I guess?
Yeah, shotguns. Okay. Yep, it's very much like a duck hunt, but typically it's more field. You can do, they'll make like, you know, pond decoys, but a lot of times they're just shells that you put out in a field that look like geese. A lot of times there's flags or things that spin and flap and just look like movement, because you think you're pulling these birds from way up high oftentimes.
Right.
Goose hunting is really, really cool. I'm trying to figure out the best way to articulate this. Ducks are not smart, right?
They're fast.
They're not the most intelligent birds. And certain species of ducks more so than others.
Sure.
But generally, the rule of thumb from my experience is if you're good on a duck call, you can have a group of ducks come in, shoot at them, miss, have them circle the pond, and you may be able to call that group of ducks back into your spread. Have you experienced that? Do you do much duck hunting either?
Yeah. We go duck hunting all the time. I've never experienced that.
You've never done that? Where you?
Well, I mean, once I shoot at them, they're done. So I've never, you know, had to worry about them circling back. No, it, you know, I guess some that you sky blast at and miss. I've never experienced the same ones coming back, I don't think. You know, of course it could have happened, but not that I've noticed.
And truth be told, unless you're actually watching them circle, it's kind of hard to know.
Right.
But yeah, ducks are much more likely because their instinct is to find ducks, right? So if you shoot at ducks and you miss, or you flare them or just do something to give yourself up, they go into that fight or flight mode, and they may fly off. And if you give them a good comeback call, you know, wah, 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 and they look down, they may see your spread of decoys and think, oh, there's safety, and come straight back to the same spread that they almost just got killed in.
Hmm.
Geese are not that way at all. If you flare geese or you shoot and miss a geese, they may never come back to that field.
Just Gandhi.
They are just absolutely gone.
Okay.
So it takes, I was trying to come up with like a bow hunting, it kind of like, it's easier to kill an immature buck because they just haven't seen enough yet.
Yeah.
They always come out earlier, you know, earlier in the day. They daylight more often. They don't step maybe as lightly. They're just, if you see somebody that's like, man, I love killing, you know, forks, it's like, okay, but wait till you get the experience of shooting something that you really have to be on your game with.
That's experienced.
Yeah. I would say it's very similar going from duck hunting to goose hunting. Now, they don't fly as fast. You don't have those, you know, the jet fighters, you know, the teal and all that stuff. But goose hunting is really, really cool. They're really big birds. You get a lot more payout for the process in terms of meat quantity.
So hang on, is this like sky blasting as they're coming over? Do you wait for them to hit the field and stop?
No, we'll more often than not, we, in my experience, treat it just like we do duck hunting.
Okay.
We're not set up on a pond the same way. Generally, you've got a field that you're spread out in, and maybe you're laying in a ditch, or somebody has mowed down, you know, a field and left a little bit of margin that you can hide in.
And you put some motion, kind of like dove deeks out, that moves around, gets their attention from way up high, and then they come down and you go. Okay.
You know, they may be miles and miles off,
yeah.
And some people will use, and I'm sure there are state laws different, you know, state by state, so pay attention. But some people will use, like, weather balloons that they'll send up, you know, several hundred feet to just kind of have movement, whether they're black balloons or white balloons, to kind of catch the attention and draw.
Okay.
One of the things I've had a lot of success with is a buddy of mine had a flag that he would put up. And think about, like, a 15 or 20 foot pole on a hinge that they basically would, like, nail into the ground or screw using, like, those dog leash corkscrews.
Yeah.
And with this hinge, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see my elbow here. They basically could pull through a string and make this thing stand up.
Nice.
And they would put a flag on the top of it that was shaped like a bird's wings. So as you're pulling on this flag, the hinge, it's kind of making this bird wing do this. And you can pull that all the way down to the ground. And it looks like something coming in from like 20 feet up to land right in the middle of your spread.
Okay.
So it's a you can get pretty sophisticated.
Yeah.
I've seen guys use mojos and all those kinds of things. But my experience is you're not sky blasting. You're shooting at the same distance that you would ducks typically. You
gotcha.
Can get them to come in and kind of cup up and target your spread.
But a much bigger target.
Much, much bigger
much
target.
Much less skill.
But they're also much, much tougher. So you pretty much aim straight for the head.
Okay.
You know, and you're also not trying to fill your breast meat with a whole bunch of shot.
Sure.
So it's you're still kind of shooting at a dime.
So do you go
basically.
12 gauge still or 20 gauge or is it...
I would do a 12 gauge, but okay. I would shoot BB size shot.
Gotcha.
So it's a much bigger shot.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
We should do it, man.
Let's go.
I have never done snow geese, the white ones.
Yeah.
And again, my perception of that is a little bit more sky blasting. You see these videos where guys are laying under, you know, bed sheets and stuff, and they're just there's millions of geese going over their head, and you're just picking them off. That's kind of what I imagine snow goose hunting to be more like. I'm sure it's not always that, but I'm talking about the Canada goose.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you can treat them very, very similarly to ducks. The calling is very different, obviously.
When is the season in Oklahoma?
I don't know off the top of my head. I'll look that up. It usually is similar to the duck seasons.
Okay. Because we've got thousands of geese that fly over our lease.
Do you?
I mean, all the time. Now, if you come down, that's probably not going to be the case. But we'll find out when the season is and get you down, because now I'm curious and want to do it and need something to do since the last day of deer ended on the 15th of January. That day always bums me out a little bit.
Yeah. And it's fun. Like, that's part of why I got into turkey hunting, is it gives me something to do in the spring and
right.
something to look for. I am trying to look up here. I have not done any Oklahoma goose hunting, so I'm having to find these dates.
Well, while
they don't limit you with the geese and the ducks, right? You can take as many as you want.
There are limits
to the ducks.
Okay.
Yeah, yep. I know that.
Typically, they have what they call a daily bag limit, and then you have a possession limit, which is how many you can have at home in your freezer.
All right. I still have a really nice winged teal I've got in my freezer. I need to get to a taxidermist. Also a bobcat that I shot a couple years ago. Which, on that note, yeah, it was a nice bobcat, and it was a fun hunt. But I'll tell you what, man, walking up to that thing, that's the first time in my life hunting I've ever been like, man, I don't dig this, to be honest with you. I didn't jive it, you know. When I saw the thing laying on the ground, I said, okay, I've did it. I've done it once. That'll be the last time I ever go bobcat hunting. I didn't like the feeling of it.
What was your method of take? Rifle? What kind of rifle?
I believe I used a 17 Hornet that time, and we were up on a stand in the back of a truck and had a call out front and a spotter sitting in the front seat. And there were two of us up top with rifles in tripods on this stand, and it came through the woods left to right. And the guy to my left took a shot and missed. And I said, "Do you want me to take it? You want me to take it?" And he never answered. And I had sight on target, and it took off running, and I hit it running shot behind the left shoulder, and it flipped over and was done. And of course, you know, you get that thrill, adrenaline rush, like, yeah, let's go. And as we walked up to it, I was like, "Nah." You know, I did it once. Like I said, I did it once, but I didn't dig the feeling of that for some reason.
I've never done it. They look super cool.
They're very cool
right?
animals, yes.
I hunt more for meat. I'm not just hunting for
maybe that was
getting
it.
Something mounted.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, where a lot of us might draw the line on the fur bearers and the varmint hunting stuff is, what do you do with
it? Right. Yeah, I mean, I've got friends that varmint hunt. There's actually a contest down in Texas coming up in February, and they get all their stuff together and go down and have a ball doing it. More power to them, man. It's a lot of fun, you know, when you go down and partake in something like that. But I don't know. Maybe it's the older I've gotten. I'm getting soft. Dogs, owning dogs will do that to you. You become a pet owner and start loving things, and then you take a cat, and it's like, well, crap, you know, what did I just do? But that's part of the deal, man. You got to go get out and do this stuff to figure out what you like and what you don't like.
I think what I could get behind on the bobcats especially is that they are predators, and they, especially around the state of Oklahoma, are notorious for raiding nests.
Quail eggs, yeah.
Quail eggs, turkey eggs, poults, yeah. You know. I'm sure you could make an argument that less bobcats, obviously coyotes will help your deer fawns. You know, there's a lot of reasons I think that people that are deer hunters and outdoorsmen are interested in removing those predators from the landscape.
Sure.
But I'm with you. It's to each their own, for sure. They're beautiful. I've got a buddy that's got one mounted in kind of a glass-sided end table. I'm like, man, that's a really cool piece of furniture. You see those mounts where they have them, like, reaching for a pheasant or something that's mounted with them. It's a really cool-looking mount.
Maybe that was part of the deal since I've seen bobcats in the wild doing their thing, and they're majestic creatures. They're really cool animals. But to the premise that it's going to help landowners out and help livestock out, that you're ticking off predators, you're taking them away from an environment to where they cause harm, I can get behind that more than just, hey, let's go kill a bobcat for the hell of it. You know, that makes
and
sense.
I think that's an important part of conversations about the outdoors, is I think there's a lot of people that are not in the hunting world
that don't get it.
And think that hunters, and these people do exist, I'm not just going to generalize all of us, but there are very, very few people out there that are just like, you know what, I need to go kill something.
Yep.
It's been a long time.
Yep. There are reasons to it,
yeah.
That we do what we do, and typically there's a lot of study that goes into it beforehand. It's not just on the cuff, head down with a gun and kill stuff.
Yep.
And people don't get that. We take the time to research things before we go do it. People that want to complain about hunters and say that you're just cold blooded, they don't do that. So I understand where their ignorance comes from.
I think that many, many, many times you would be hard-pressed to find people that care about and are more invested in protecting wildlife than hunters.
No doubt.
So, hey, we do need to squeeze in a break. Before we do, I found the geese dates here. It's a split season. So November 2nd through November 24th, and then November 30th through February 9th.
So we've got till 2-9 to get out and do something.
Till 2-9, and they do characterize them by dark geese and light geese, which typically is your snows versus your Canada.
In 2025.
Lord of the boards with a zinger back there.
There you go. On that note, we're going to take a break. This is the Outdoor Hour on 107.7 The Franchise.
Now, back to the Outdoor Hour with your hosts, Taylor Maples and Josh Stratton on 107.7 The Franchise.
Welcome inside the Outdoor Hour, final segment this week. Don't forget, you can find the page on social media at outdoor_hour. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and we're now on YouTube at The Franchise OK. That is the YouTube page, and then there's a playlist for the Outdoor Hour. I'm Taylor Maples. Dave Myrick is in studio with us. The Lord of the Board is Matty Goldfish as well. You mentioned Skip Johnson in the previous segment.
Yeah.
Can't talk deer hunting without talking Skip Johnson in the state of Oklahoma.
No, in the interview I referenced, it was myself and Randy Heights, and I fired off at the first question. And I'm like, Skip, I had all this stuff planned out to talk to you about your arms this year and Cam Johnson from LSU first and foremost. I got to ask, man, did you have any luck this year in deer season? And, of course, he's just like, oh, man, yeah, you can tell that gets his juices flowing. And he went off on a five-minute story about winging a deer that got up and ran off like Superman, even though he thought it was a perfect shot, which I think we've all been there. But Yeah, man, Skip is one of a kind, and he falls in line with what we're talking about. It's a guy that loves to get outside. He loves the thrill of the hunt, and he does it for the right reasons. So I can't think of a better person to be in charge of Oklahoma baseball than Skip Johnson. He everything the state is about, both, you know, in the dugout, out of it, what he does for the kids, what he emulates, it's just a perfect head coach for that university. Perfect.
I do not have a long list of baseball coaches that I feel like I can speak highly of based on my career. I don't know that there are any that I speak more highly of than Skip Johnson.
Oh, yeah, man.
I mean, he's the real deal, the pedigree, you know, his time at Navarro, obviously coming up working with Augie Garrido at Texas for 10 years. Man, first of all, he's got stories, like stories for days.
When your shining protege is Clayton Kershaw, I mean, and I told him, you've got to just keep ripping that to every recruit you talk to, dude. Don't ever, you can't ever overuse that one.
No, Skip's the real deal. Great guy, humble, one of those people that really teaches the game at a high level, but also really cares about the players, right, as people and individuals and maturing young men. And I don't do nearly as much with baseball at OU as I once did, but yeah, real deal. But also absolute killer when it comes to deer hunting.
Yeah, man.
And he's got doors that open for him because of what he does and because of who he knows that are really neat. I don't want to tell too many of his stories, but I will tell you this. Did you know he was actually the original inspiration for this show, The Outdoor Hour?
Yeah, you and I have spoke about that in the past.
I told you that. For anybody that doesn't know that, the inspiration for this show came about man, it might have been the Shriners Classic. It was definitely at a Texas indoor stadium. So it was either the Shriners Classic down in Houston at Minute Maid, or it may have been at the New Globe Life.
Yeah.
But, you know, Skip, anytime he talks to anybody, he's got his cell phone out and he's flipping through deer photos.
Yep.
It was after, I think, a Nebraska game. So anybody that really wants to go in and stat can figure out specifically when the inspiration happened. Nebraska had just played. Nebraska had lost. Oklahoma was assuming that dugout. I think it was the third base side. And I'm standing there preparing to do my – no, first base side. Anyways, I'm standing there preparing to do my interview with Skip pregame, and he and the Nebraska coach exchanged some pleasantries and, you know, hey, you'll get them right. It's a long season, all that stuff. And he says, hey, did you kill any good deer this year? And they spent 15 minutes talking deer hunting. And I was just standing there as a fly in the wall.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, man, I've heard this exact same conversation from Skip Johnson 30 times over the years. People would die to get to hear Skip talk about deer hunting in these ways. We should do that. So the original plan was Skip was going to do this every week with me.
Yeah.
And we just never put it together. It didn't happen. Ironically, he's actually never even been on the show.
Well, with his schedule, that's tough, man.
It does make it a little tough. I will say he's made an effort. We, you know, this airs on Wednesday night, and then we rebroadcast it on Sunday mornings. He has called me Sunday mornings before, like duck call in hand, like ready to go, man, I want to get on the show, let's talk.
Thinking it's live.
Thinking it was live on Sundays.
Yeah.
So one of these days we'll make that happen. That'll be really cool.
So my Skip Johnson story is a lot like yours. So I went down to cover the Big 12 tournament 2 years ago at the New Globe Life in Dallas, and I'm on the field before the Oklahoma game. And look, I wasn't going to fanboy out. I'm like next to the OU dugout, and I know Ryan Gaines, the director of ops, a little bit. And I'm taking pictures and tweeting stuff on the franchise, and Ryan's like, hey, Dave, come here. I'm like, all right. So I walk down, and he kind of turns to the side, and I see Skip right there. He's like, hey, Dave, this is Skip. I'm like, how's it going? We start talking. And what made me laugh when you were telling that story is immediately the phone comes out, and he's flipping through this new build of a rifle he got. And we got to talking about my lease, and I told him a story about being up in a stand one night, and there was a buddy with me that was further down the lease, and it was just about dark. And I texted him. I said, dude, I swear to God, I see like a Wolverine, like a Weasley-looking thing. And I can't – it's too dark to tell exactly what, but the movement was very Weasley, and that was a text I sent him. And it becomes a thing with all the guys in the lease. So I pull up the group lease text and show Skip, and he's like – put your phone on video, Bubba. I'm like, all right. And he's like, turn it around. I'm like, hey, Dave Meyer here with OU coach Skip Johnson. He's like, and now ask me if there are weasels in Oklahoma. I said, okay, coach, are there weasels in Oklahoma? Absolutely there are. It's absolutely vindicated. He saw one. I'm like, ah, there you go. For guys on the lease, you got it right there, Skip Johnson. So that's my Skip story, man. Always willing to sit and talk, talk whatever you want, but usually, yes, it's hunting.
If you've ever, as a media member, been on a Zoom call with him, he's typically sitting, and they've kind of got like a sunroom in their home. And I'm not joking. Try to do a quick estimate here. They've probably got 30 deer mounts nice. In that room, and there's like a dozen or so on the wall right behind him. So I always laugh at the beginning of a baseball season. They'll do a media Zoom meeting to talk about the arms and all the stuff you mentioned earlier. And it's funny because you can always tell who's never been on a Zoom call with Skip before because he's typically sitting there. He's got all these deer mounts over his head. Skip is one of a kind, for sure.
Yeah, he is. Well, I brought up baseball a second ago. I did shoulder presses last night working out. And for guys like you and I that came out of the womb playing the game, I played football too, quarterback. There's been a lot of motion with this arm. And so after I do shoulder press it today, I can feel it the older I get.
You ever do crossover symmetry?
Like not
the bands work stuff.
Yeah, I use Nike bands.
Nike bands.
Can I say sponsors on this? Or
yeah, for sure.
Brands, I guess. Yeah
sure. I'll bring in to show you crossover symmetry is a chord. You know, the Jaeger bands are ones that we used to use in college a lot. But the crossover system is one that I've been using since high school, and I highly recommend it for any shoulder stuff.
Yeah.
They're super cool. There's a longer story than we have time for today, but yeah,
okay.
Those are something I swear by, and I've got a set of them, so I'll bring them up. And
cool,
let you give it a go.
Yeah,
yeah. Bands are a great way to strengthen your shoulders, and there's in your rotator cuff and all that. There's a lot of small muscles that don't get used all the time, but especially as a bow hunter, you know, you can do a lot to help make your draw easier and.
I actually I played club hockey up here, and it was not even during a game. It was after a game, and a guy and I were skating off just talking about it, and I hit a spot in the rink that was melted, and it basically my skate hit the concrete, and I went from standing, I'm 6'2 anyway, and then you add the skates to that all the way down and just fell completely on my right shoulder. There was nothing to stop it. And I swore I tore my rotator cuff, never got it looked at. And it's still that also plays into why there's an issue anytime I lift weights. But I'll try the bands. Maybe that's easier.
Bands are a really good way to strengthen that stuff and help prevent injuries.
Cool.
So, yeah,
okay.
Love that. Hey, we got to get out of here. We're pressed for time. This is the Outdoor Hour. Thanks for being with us. That is Dave Myrick.
It's already over?
Yeah, we're done.
Oh, man, it was too fast.
Three quick segments.
Yeah.
That is Maddie Goldfish. I am Taylor Maples. You can find me on Instagram at @T_Maples. I'm on all social media that way. The Outdoor Hour is @Outdoor_Hour. Don't forget to check us out on YouTube. You can find these shows rebroadcast as podcasts on all the major podcast networks. Drop us a line. Let us know if you know more about the sheep tag that sold for $1.3 million. If you bought the sheep tag, I want to talk to you especially. What else? If you have thoughts and feelings on the proposed $1 limit in the state of Oklahoma that is being discussed heavily on social media. I got a lot of things that we're just going to have to say for next week, I guess. Yeah. This is the Outdoor Hour. I'm Taylor Maples. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next time. Until then, go boldly. We'll see you outdoors.